May be seated if you feel you need to. If you want to stand, you can stand. But as we said Monday night, having done all to stand, stand therefore. You're not doing all of this to be knocked out of the saddle by a demon. You're doing this to stand, especially in the evil day. Because the evil day will creep and come towards anybody that stands up for Jesus. So, you have your Bible with you? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love should be roaring on the inside of you. Holy Ghost is on the inside. Joy. Joy should be bubbling up within you. Joy is on the inside. Peace. Peace should be keeping you still. Even in the midst of chaos, confusion, and disorder. Peace. Not just when the conditions say it's peaceful. Peace, even when the conditions say turmoil, chaos, war, storms, pressure, stress. You know how they try and talk us into it. You know we all stress. And then we just flow right along the stream. Yeah, you know we all do. We really do. You have just contradicted the authoritative word that framed the world, made sure you were here now and not at any other time, created the heavens and the earth, that same sustaining authoritative word that'll be here when everything else passes away. That's how powerful God's word is. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So everything will pass away, but God's word will still be here. That word. That word. That word. Sustaining you. Keeping you. Holding you. Building you. Framing you from the inside out. God deals with your heart, not your attire. Once he deals with your heart, your attire follows suit. Everything you are on the outside has to be a manifestation of what's on the inside of you. And if what's on the outside is inappropriate, it's because what's on the inside is inappropriate. Does that make sense? But who's on the inside working and roaring like a lion? Hallelujah. We shouldn't even say roaring like, but that's the way the song goes. We should be saying roaring. Because he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Peter said the devil goes about like a lion. Jesus is not like a lion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. So, anyways. Those first three, love, joy, and peace. Everyone wants it. Spend all kind of money to have it. But we receive it freely as a gift of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Long suffering. I can't take it anymore. I says, yes, you can. Not only you can, but you are and you will. I'm going to see to it. Take it away. Nope. You're going to walk through this. You're going to learn like my servant David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your word and your spirit, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, Brother Joshua, what's following you? Surely, surely, what's following you? Come on, come on. There's something that David says. Surely, That's what's following you, Brother Joshua. Everywhere you go, every contract you establish, goodness and mercy is following you. Tragedy may be following others, but goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. This is the word of God to you. This is eternal word. It's not temporary. It's for every generation. This word don't weaken. This word does not change or alter its course or alter what its ability is. This word changeth not. If that word changes, God is a liar. But God himself watches over it, hastens to perform it in every generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You might as well go ahead and get excited about the word if it's on the inside of you. Something ought to be hitting your spirit right about now. Don't matter if you heard it before. It's what you're getting right now. You're getting a right now word. Hallelujah. Praise God. How you doing there, Brother Q? Is Q for cute or is Q for Kwame? I'm just being facetious right now. You don't spell cute with a Q anyways. Just thought I'd catch myself before somebody else caught me. How you doing, Brother Kwame? Your wife is pregnant. She really pregnant. It's out there. Look at that. The stomach jumps when she. She really pregnant. Praise God. Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. So we got love, joy, and peace, long suffering. Like, we can't take stuff. We can't handle stuff. We can't go through stuff. Monday night, I had to say, you know what a crisis is? A crisis is what's happening down there in Texas. A crisis is what's happening down there with the people who have been moved out of their home and their comfort zone, if they have really been moved out of their comfort zone. And now they have to find shelter and refuge. And thousands are being, you know, squeezed into the facilities that they have open. I don't know if you've been keeping track or been watching or been praying. You should be at least be praying for them. We did send $1,000 off Monday or Tuesday to send to Bridge of Hope so the Bridge of Hope can continue to do the work. They've already sent one truckload and they're getting ready to send another. You got Samaritan Purse that's also doing things. And those of you who want to give tonight, by all means, please do so because they do need it. Amen. They do need it. It's not like they got savings accounts, and they may have some, but they've been pushed out of their homes. I mean, you're talking about some, not just the bad, you know, when I say bad, like, you know, rough neighborhoods, lower income neighborhoods, whatever you want to say. We're so sensitive now. We used to be able to say ghetto and stuff like that, and people didn't get offended. But today's time, we have to be. But anyways, you know, you're talking about these very nice homes that have been invaded by water. You know, water up to the gable, if you will. Is that the part that goes like that? You know, water up to the gable. People having to swim through their home to get out of that place. You're talking about being displaced. That's a crisis. You know, they had some warning, and some of them did what they could do, but still, nobody was prepared for this. That's a crisis. So when you think about what you've dealt with over the last week, measure it to what they're dealing with right now. Amen? Amen. And be thankful. Because even in this, they're going to endure this and they're going to overcome this. Whether it be one day, 1 year, 2 years, however many years, they're going to come through this. And they'll be a much better people as a result. Because you got people helping people. Yeah. They're not into all of the other issues that are going on in the nation and around the world. Now you got people helping people. You know, you take the prejudices off and everything else off and you just start helping and reaching out to people. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So, long suffering. You can handle much more than what you've been currently dealing with. Don't let no devil make you think that something like this can just wipe you out, knock you out. No, you're built. You're built better than built for tough. Hallelujah. You're built to handle the storms and the pressures. You're built to handle the winds, the floods, the rains. You're built to handle these things that life deals your way. And you're able to overcome it. Do you know who Jesus is coming back for? Yes, glorious church. Anything else? I just kind of gave you a hint. Victorious? What's another name for victorious? I just said it. Overcome. He's coming back for some overcomers, not some underachievers. Amen? Amen. He's coming back for people who have overcome the obstacles of life, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's coming back for some conquerors, somebody that has made some real progress in their walk. They've endured, they've overcome, they've lasted. You praise God. So that's what's working on the inside of you. You wonder why do I have to go through this trial? Go through it. Bring you out a better person. So this is what's happening on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Gentleness. Oh, praise God. Why did he have to say that word? That is not a nice word, even though it's a nice word. But gentleness. Even the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He does not force or impose his will on anyone. He comes to us as a gentleman. But if you'll allow him, he'll be like a hurricane and a tornado as far as taking us to the place God would have us to be, as far as releasing his power. Because when he came into that upper room, he came with fire, he came with wind. He came and stirred up those disciples, and they were so bold. They went out and faced the people that they were up there hiding from for 10 days. They went out there and they preached that gospel to them. Hallelujah. Speaking in their own languages. And they were like, what is this? They're all drunk. We're not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day. Nobody gets drunk that early. At least not in that day. This is that which Joel spoke. Dot, dot, dot. All right. So you've got gentleness, kindness. It's in you. Let it through. It's okay to be kind sometimes. We don't always have to be rude or mean. Goodness. Hallelujah. There's goodness. There's good in us. But the good is of God. Hallelujah. Let that goodness flow. Faith. Or another way to put it, faithfulness. Hallelujah. If you can't be trusted to come to work on time, you're not allowing faithfulness to run its course. No, no, no. I wasn't talking about that. Praise God. I was joking with Pastor Lucia. She started full time yesterday, and her first day she was late. She had a reason. She told me about it. But still, I just told her, you're late. Praise God. So it's going to be a lot of fun down there. Praise God. Yeah, but anyways. Faithfulness, though. Faithfulness. That others can depend on you and rely upon you. The ability to keep your word. The ability to commit yourselves to something and stick with it. That's in you. That's what's working in you. Now, you can be resisting it. It can be, fighting it. No, I don't want to be. That kind of stuff. But that's what God is working on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory. Let him have his perfect work. Amen. Faithfulness. Anybody have a problem with being faithful? Nobody's going to raise their hand. See, you're unfaithful because you didn't raise your hand. No. No, but faithfulness is at work on the inside of you. That's what the Holy Ghost is working. Hallelujah. Some are more faithful than others. Catch up. Praise God. God needs faithful people. He expects us to be, we expect him to be faithful. You know, the word of God even says, God can't deny himself. He's faithful. Even when we're faithless, he's faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so just as surely as we expect him to be faithful, he expects us to be faithful. But it's what the Holy Spirit is working out in us. It's not like we have to do it in and of ourselves. He helps us because he's our helper. Meekness. Meekness is, I don't know who coined this definition, but it is definitely appropriate. Power under control. Some look at meekness as a sign of weakness. Oh, they're weak. They're not weak. They're just meek. They're they have humility. They're humble. But mess with them, push the wrong button, and then you'll find, oh, I didn't know they had that in them, because you move them out of that vein of being humble. But meekness is power under control. And this is what's being worked out on the inside of us. Again, this is what's happening on the inside. Temperance. Temperance is the ability to control oneself. You know, people have anger issues and need anger management. They have no sense of control. So they have to go and sit before somebody or sit with a group, and they talk about how they've lost control, and you know, they blew it, they exploded, they imploded type thing. You don't need to go and sit in a circle with other people and talk about how you can't control this. You need to go in your prayer closet and sit before God and let him deliver you from that spirit of anger, and let him work temperance, the ability to bring yourself in control. We become too dependent. And we're the people of God. That's the thing. We're the people of God. We're not the people of the world. In the world, yeah, we do things worldly. You know, something happens, you know, somebody gets sick immediately. You know, call the advice nurse if it's a baby. You know, first thing you ought to do is lay hands. Hallelujah. And then we're going to lay hands and rebuke this thing in Jesus' mighty name. And, you know, leave it at that. Give it a chance to work. It don't work? Okay. Then you can call somebody up and be in agreement with them, have them come in agreement with you, pray over that matter. That don't work? Call the advice nurse. See what's going on. Take them in. Find out what's going on. Then bind that thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We couldn't find it out in prayer, but here we go. Let's deal with it. But at least let the first thing be, go to God. Amen? Hallelujah. We're the people of God. I'm not saying anything negative about doctors. What I am saying is that we're just too dependent upon them. We believe them more than we believe God. God says by his stripes we're healed. The doctor says, but you have this. And so it's like, well, you say I have this and you're physical and I can see you. He says I'm healed, but I still feel sickness and I can't see him. So we go by what we see rather than trusting the one that we know or are supposed to know. Amen. So, you know, it's not to offend or anything like that. It's just a given. And look at what the Word of God says. When love is being perfected, joy is being perfected, peace is being perfected, long-suffering is being perfected, gentleness is being perfected, goodness is being perfected. Faith is, now mind you, this is not like the gifts of the Spirit where the Holy Ghost distributes severally as he wills, and so he gives to one, you know, prophecy to one, word of knowledge to one. This ain't that. No, this is, everybody's got this. Everybody's got this. Just go ahead and say everybody. Everybody got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God didn't give me that. So I still got my issues. No, this is the issue solver right here. This is the issue annihilator right here. This is what's supposed to be going on the inside. So goodness is being perfected. Faith is being perfected. Meekness is being perfected. Temperance is being perfected. And he says, against such, there's no law. There's no law against any of these. In other words, get in that fast lane, put the pedal to the metal, go full force in it. Max it out. Yeah. Perfect it to its ultimate, to its best. That's what God wants. That's what's happening. In case you didn't know what was going on the inside, or you might be confused about, well, I hear what the Bible says, but this is what I'm really feeling. Well, stop living by feelings and live by faith. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. All right. It's 8:22. Let's receive an offering. Amos 3:3. I'll continue while you're preparing your offerings. Amos 3:3. Can you put that on the board? Nobody's back there, or somebody's back there. Brother Ian, how you doing? All right. You're with us. Praise God. No travels. Good. Okay. Can we get Amos 3:3? We got it. Let's read on the count of three. One, two, three. Read. Can two walk together except they be agreed? What does that mean to you? Unity. Huh. I like that word, unity. Oneness. I like that word, oneness. One accord. I like one accord. How can two walk together except they be agreed? One's going in one direction, the other's going in the other direction. How can they meet if they're going in opposite directions? It don't matter if they, Brother Joshua, let's do something kitty, okay? Like when I say kitty, let's skip like we're in elementary school. You know, come on. You know, I know that looks silly, don't it? It looks silly, but you get the point. You get the point. How are you going to be, you know, when you're at odds with each other? You can be doing that and smiling, but inwardly, you're going in opposite directions. Repel one another. Repel, repel, repel. You know, you're going in opposite directions. So where's the unity? Where's the oneness? It's the same with your relationship with the Father. How can you walk with God unless you agree with him? When Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He's talking about agreement. He's talking about unity. He's talking about coming together on the same accord. Now, how can we if we don't agree? This goes back to what I was sharing just a little while ago. If God's word says one thing, and yet man says something totally opposite, who are you going to believe? Well, God, I feel this way. Yeah, but the word is medicine for you. It's just like taking the pills that they would prescribe for you. You can go ahead, Sister J, if you were going to bring your offering. It's just like the word, take it, a scripture a day. And you know, some medication you take over and over and over again. You know, the same medication. Because it never got rid of the sickness or the pain or the affliction or whatever you're dealing with. It never got rid of it. All it did was medicated it. All it did was, you know, just made you feel different for a time period, and then it wore off, and then you got to take another one to get you back to that state again. Well, why not just take the word? Well, I heard that word. Well, take it again. Open up that bottle, open up that Bible, if you will, and take the scripture again. Amen. And mix it with some faith. Instead of going and get a glass of water to take the pill, mix it with some faith. This is what God said about the children of Israel. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. And the reason they didn't profit from the word that was given to them is because they never mixed that word with faith. And so what happened was they died and perished in the wilderness. So if you're sick, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but if you're sick in your body, put the word on it. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. I take that. I take that. And I wash it down with some praise, and I thank you, Master. I give glory to your name. I thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. You put some more word on it. I thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. I thank you that you cannot lie. I thank you that your word prospers wherever you send it. And, you know, it accomplishes whatever you please. I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. I thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I thank you that your word is full of power. I thank you that your word is a lie. I thank you that your word is for real. I thank you that I can stand on your word, trust in your word. Hallelujah. I thank you that your word works when I work your word. And then you just keep going with that. Hallelujah. And you just keep running with that. Yeah. Whatever the situation is, whatever the crisis demands, apply faith in God's word. Let God's word be true, and every man be a. That's what your word says. You ready? Okay. How does what I just said? Okay. Again, well, you know, we got to do a whole series on marriage. I think we got to schedule our marriage. Yes. Okay. So, because it's more than just a two-minute answer. God has already ordained how the husband and wife ought to be. Before they try and, you know, beat at each other like, you ain't submitting to me. Well, you don't respect me. Well, you don't love me. You know, before we start doing all of that, let's just work on ourselves. Let's just work on the ugliness that we have within ourselves. Let Christ clean us up so that we can see clearly. Because that same word that Jesus spoke about, looking at your brother and looking at the speck in his eye when you don't look at the beam in your own eye, that applies to marriage too. And so we could be seeing how our, well, I'm a husband, you're a wife. So stand, please. I could be looking at all of your faults and failures and seeing how you just don't measure up. And you could be looking at all my faults and failures and just see how I don't measure up. And we can just go from there and just start attacking each other. And we got word in us, so we can really go a long time. Kaboom! And you just kaboom back! And kaboom! I'm trying to make it a little humorous, but you understand the point. You know, we just start firing at each other. Kaboom! Well, boom, boom! You know, and you hit me back and stuff. And, you know, we're supposed to be enjoying each other. You know, marriage is a wonderful thing. Yes. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be loving each other and walking together in the sweet fellowship, because we understand when we're at odds with each other, don't try and fast and go into your closet and see, it didn't get no higher than the roof. Irritated all the neighbors in the neighborhood. But the prayer didn't go nowhere. Why? Because our prayers are hindered when we are divided against each other. And so, first, we got to be willing to look at ourselves in the mirror and deal with the things that really hinder us in who we are in Christ. I mean, we're a man for the men, and, you know, we are husbands for those who are married. And we have a great responsibility. We have a responsibility as husbands to be that breadwinner, that provider, that protector of the home. We have that responsibility of being the priest, being the leader and the head of the wife. She's our responsibility. She's our glory. If she's all messed up, that just makes us look messed up. No matter how good we might think we may have it, if she's messed up, we're messed up too. And so it's like, deal with me. And when we're not seeing eye to eye, just go before the Father and just, Lord, deal with me if it's me. Rather than, Lord, show her where she's wrong. Lord, I mean, is there anything in me? Because if something wrong is coming out of her, am I doing that? Am I provoking that? You know, or is, you know, what's happening here, Lord? Because if it's me, I repent and ask your forgiveness, perfect the things that concern me so that she and I can walk as one. And if she's doing the same thing in that closet, that prayer closet, when we come out of that prayer closet, we ought to be walking hand in hand in holy matrimony and loving each other and not fighting each other, combating against each other. Then now we can walk in the counsel of God. Now we can walk. And the main thing that Paul says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. You know, and that's what he said. And we'll gladly do that. We gladly do it, not because we're just goody good two-shoe people. Is that right? Goody two-shoe people? Okay. Not because we're goody two-shoe people, but because this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. This way, our prayers are not hindered, and we're heirs of the grace of God together as one. We receive the manifold blessing of God. Who wants to harm that? You know, the perfect will is what we strive for. Does that make sense? The perfect will is what we strive for. We don't strive for just striving at each other. We're striving to be perfected in Christ Jesus so that we can not only inherit the promises, but enjoy the promises. Amen. You know, we can be in a, you know, a 16-bedroom mansion with 23 toilets. Just, you know, throwing something out there. We can be in a, but be at odds with each other. That is horrible. She's on one side of the house and I'm on the other side. And when we see each other, you know, who wants to live like that? Strive for holiness. Strive for unity. Strive for oneness. Work at it. Amen. Because you're not going to get it like, doom, doom. Go ahead. Take a big shot. She might hit me. But we're not going to get nowhere fighting like that. Satan wins. Yeah, come on, Sister Kathy. Come on. Yeah. There's Sister Kathy. Praise God. Give no place to the devil. Give no topaz, no land, especially in this, because this is key for husbands and wives. Yeah. You know, singles, see, this is where singlehood is more blessed than marriage. Because see, with single, it's just you. With marriage, it's husband and wife. We both got to be walking in the will of God. Amen. And that should be our goal and our ambition. Now, if you have an unsaved loved one, then it's going to be completely different because you have to deal with them. And the Bible says as long as they're willing to stay with you, stay with them. But what that does not mean is that you have to rebel against God because they rebel against God. No, you serve God. And if they want to stay with you, praise God. They get sanctified and you don't get contaminated because you're walking with God. But now, if you're going to let the uncircumcised cause you to become uncircumcised when you know better as a child of God, am I making any sense? If you're going to walk in their disobedience, you can't expect God to move. You walk in obedience with the will of God and let God take care of what your shortcomings cannot take care of. Let God do what you cannot do. But be obedient to God because that's where the promise of God says you won't be contaminated by your husband or your spouse, your wife, by their unsanctified lifestyle. You know, because some feel like, well, we weren't saved when we got married, and then I got saved, and he didn't get saved, and so, you know, maybe this ain't the will of God, and then maybe it is the will of God. You just grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Your submission to him is very similar to this. I was not around when she was around, but her husband was born 100 years before I was born. So 100 years later, God saw fit for me to come. Same month, few days apart, but hey. But anyways, no, Smith Wigglesworth and Polly. One occasion, Smith started rebelling against God. You know, he was raised up in the church. He got saved at a young age and started serving. But he got out of the will of God. And he was a plumber, so he just, you know, went on into his plumbing business and, you know, just left the church. But Polly remained faithful. And so Smith started coming at Polly, like, you know, not going to church and not doing certain things for the kingdom of God. She looked at him. She said, I'm paraphrasing. I will cook your meals. I will wash your clothes. I will have everything prepared for you when you come home. I'll keep the house clean. But I will not rebel against my God. Those are my words. I'm just paraphrasing. In other words, she says, I'm not going to compromise my walk with God for you. But I will honor you as a wife. But you're not going to have me being in rebellion with you because, you know, you decided to walk away from God. Does that make sense? So, again, it takes more than just, how many minutes did I take? I said 2 minutes, but, you know, y'all know my 2 minutes by now. You also know my, I'm not going to be very long. I'm working on that. I am working on that. You have no idea how convicted I get by the time I get down to the office. Lord, I tried. But you keep giving stuff, and it just keeps coming. And then I be trying to stop it, and then it keeps going. And then I see the faces of the people, and then I look at the clock, and then I say, okay. Yeah, it got so heated with them that one evening she came home and he was so livid, he was mad. He kicked her out of the house. Now, I don't know if he did this a couple of times, but this one particular time I remember reading, it says he kicked her out of the house, slammed the door, and she went around the back. Because she knew the back door was unlocked and came in the back door, and they just started busting out laughing because they knew how foolish that was. But, you know, sometimes, you know, a heated moment is not always a bad thing. It can end up working together for good because it can help us to see our foolishness, if you will, you know, our immaturity and things like that. It doesn't always work that way. But, you know, in that case, but still, yeah, again, we do. We do, and we need to schedule. I have another, she's executive assistant to the pastor, so she has to, because Sister Lauren, where's she at? Sister Lauren says she's with child, and now she's with another child, and so, praise God. Where's Deacon Posada? He's with her? He's with child too? Amen. See, he got that. It's like, we're pregnant. No, we ain't pregnant. She's pregnant. Don't buy into that stuff they be trying to feed you, stuff down your throat. We pregnant. No, we not pregnant. She pregnant. Hallelujah. Ask her who's going to carry that baby full term and be up there on the table delivering. See if you get vomit then. Yeah, you probably vomit because of the... Okay, let me stop. Yes. Offering. It's time to go home. It's time to go home. And my amen. And anyone desiring to give to Harvey, to the hurricane, by all means do so. We will send the next seed Sunday. Stand to your feet. Brother Oliver, you wanted to share something. I saw your hand. Oh, I just say, if you keep working on it, God will Come on. 57 years? 50? Huh? Brother Oliver, you gotta love him. Can I share that? It's okay. They were in a car accident on the way here. And so Sister Teresa was gonna go take the car home. And Brother Oliver said, no, we're gonna go to church. Look at that. Brother Oliver. Yeah. Troopers. Yeah. Glory. Amen. See, that's how you want to be. And look how happy. They're inseparable. They're inseparable. And that's something to look forward to. Hallelujah. Do I have time to give wedding no. testimonies? I got to say this. I was watching, I was listening to this seminar thing. Webinar, and I just listened to it at the beginning, and we are not perfect, and we don't try and pretend that we are something that we're not, but, you know, let God be true and every man be a liar. And they were talking about this millennial generation and how Pastor Lucille worked for the administrative offices of the courts, the judicial branch, for 33 years, right? 33. And you don't see that much today. And so with this generation that they call the millennials, they don't have the stick-to-itiveness, and that's just me. They change at the, you know, at a moment's notice. They, you know, and the way businesses are today, they don't like to keep people around too long anyways. And so they were talking about how this generation of millennials, they're not after, like, okay, old days was get a job, get married, have a family, buy a home, you know, have a family, and, you know, and then prosper, and all those were the priorities. But that the priorities have changed with millennials. Marriage is down at the bottom. You know how marriage got down to the bottom? Because preachers stopped demanding people to get married and get right with God. We started lowering the standard. And the thing of it is we're trying to study them to see how we're going to minister to them. No, we study the word and bring that word to them to bring their lives in alignment. Amen. And I had to turn that stuff off. I'm like, I don't need to hear that junk. And I try and have a humble attitude about it, but some of the stuff just makes you want to puke. I understand what Jesus was saying. You know, you make me want to vomit. Okay, I'm done.
Real. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
She says she's going to take the microphone. I'm telling on her. I tell Brother Joshua, take the mic from me, get the thing away from me. Stretch forth your hands in faith. Thank you for your sons and daughters that are in this house. We truly thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for their commitment. We thank you for their sacrifice. We thank you for their love. We thank you for their support of the kingdom. We pray blessing upon them, and even for those who have given concerning Harvey, the hurricane, not that we're supporting the hurricane master, but to minister to those who have been affected by this hurricane and now this tropical storm that is still wreaking havoc. We trust you to put a stop to it altogether and to turn the situation around for good and for glory. We ask your blessing upon this, and that, Father, you'll have others give and contribute as well by whatever means they choose, that it gets into the hands that need it and is not squandered, is not taken advantage of, that is not abused or used for other means other than what its intended purpose is, to bless the lives of those who have been hit by this tragedy all at once. We cover them in the blood, and we pray for your sons and daughters who continue to give freely, willingly, and bountifully. Bless them. Multiply their seed sown. Keep the windows of heaven open over them. Cause their businesses to prosper. Cause their jobs to prosper. Cause their home income and their family to prosper. That everything we set our hands to do, it is blessed and it prospers because your hand is on our hand. Master, we pray for jobs, raises, and promotions. We pray for breakthroughs for your sons and daughters in this place. We thank you for our guest tonight, Lord, for sending her this way. Tonight, we pray that your hand will be upon her and that you have borne witness to her as to why you had her here tonight. We thank you for the many more that are coming, the multitudes that are in the valley that you're sending our way. We call them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Work your will. Do what you do best, Father, and that it all be done for your glory, honor, and praise. We release our faith in our giving, and we give you thanks. Now may the Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he will bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the powers of hell, the gates of hell, will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God and pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you. Order your steps, direct your path, guide you with his eye. In Jesus' name, everybody who agreed and received said amen.
Amen.
All right, greet one another to your left, to your right. Have a blessed one. We have, what's anything this weekend?